House of Bob is sponsored by Legend 7 Brewing. Based in our hometown of Calgary, Alberta, these guys do a ton to keep us online and keep beers in our fridge. Thanks for listening. Last time on House of Annihilation, our intrepid heroes arrive in the lost city of Omu, the supposed home of the Soulmonger. The city is a vast, sunken ruin of its former glory, with dread and evil waiting around every corner. The group befriended a translator named Orvex Orchimus and recovered the first of the remaining puzzle cubes that they'll need to access the Tomb of the Nine Gods.
I'm Dan. I'll be playing Liana Sirvana, the Elf Beastmaster.
Hi, I'm Jake. I'm playing as Cranston Thorne, the Half-Elf Bard.
My name's Alex, and I'll be playing as Horik Jones, the Human Fighter.
I'm Christina, and I'm playing Douglas, the Ganassi Evoker.
And I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master. If you like what you hear, you can support House of Bob and help us grow by reviewing us on iTunes, buying merch from our Etsy store, or even just telling your friends about us. Roll on! You fought the Froggy Myth at Kubazon Shrine, and now you have Kubazon's Puzzle Cube. You guys exit the shrine. You go back out to that big fountain-y pond where the giant dead frog tentacle creature is lying splayed on the ground. And you kind of have the run of the place now. Orvex is still there with you.
I want to look at that cube.
The cube is half a pound weight, made of this gray, brown, sandstone-y kind of material, about 3 inches on the side. And engraved onto each face is an image of Kubazon, the trickster god. It's a giant frog-like creature with three periscope pseudopod eyes sticking off the top of its head and a couple tentacles and frog legs.
I traced the outline with my finger.
Nice.
It worked last time.
No, it didn't.
Didn't it?
That was a totally different item.
We ended up here because our friend, Orvex,
yeah.
He's the one that told us to come here, right?
Orvex did take you there. We were going to go there with the wizards, but then we got attacked. And so I figured I would take you since you're my new friends.
That's great. I was just surprised that nobody had made it here from the looks of it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's probably
which is
true.
Interesting.
Douglas, could you examine this nifty wand I found? As well as we have a nifty battle axe?
Point it at me and see what happens.
Yeah, that seems the best.
That's
scenario.
Plan B.
I did look at the rune and I couldn't figure it out.
Once you invest a rest
into
examining or bonding with a magical item, you're able to kind of decipher the secrets about it.
Yes, Cranston, good friend, I will look at this weird, curly wand of yours.
You spend your short rest examining that, and I'm assuming that Horik will examine the axe.
Absolutely.
You discover that the wand is a wand of secrets. This wand has 3 charges. While holding it, you can use an action to expend one of the charges, and if a secret door or trap is within 30 feet of you, the wand pulses and points at the one nearest you. The wand regains 1d3 expended charges daily at dawn.
Can I figure out what the rune actually says this time, or it just says what it is?
It says, reveal. The axe, which you already know is engraved with Deathic runes that spell the word Bob, you spend your time investigating it, and it was revealed to be a +1 battle axe, which is good on its own, but you find that this has an additional property imbued into it. This axe will float on any liquid.
That is weird.
Boat axe. A boatle axe.
More like a surfboard axe, which would be pretty fucking cool for shredding some waves.
It's an axe plus flotation device.
No, it just bobs there.
Oh, the cancer.
Well, Douglas died in this encounter. This episode is dedicated to Douglas.
You guys are hanging out. I'm going to get you to roll perceptions as you are sitting around.
Horik rolled a 17.
Lee got a 16.
Douglas got a 7.
15 for Cranston.
You guys are sitting around the shrine, doing your rest, examining your magical items, taking a breather. Further in the distance in the city, you can hear more of whatever that huge creature, that roaring creature that you heard the day before, kind of tromping around somewhere elsewhere in the city. And then you look over to the tree line, and you see these medium-sized apes kind of peeking at you from behind a couple trees. I'd say they're kind of like chimpanzee-ish, but a little more gaunt, a little more tall, with more drawn grayish skin, and seem to be like curiously watching you guys see what you're all about.
I throw part of my rations at them, like little bits.
I mean, to them, not at them.
in their general direction. Douglas throws little bits.
It hits them.
Yeah.
One of the two shuffles forward, picks up a little bit of the ration, smells it, eats it, and then darts back into the trees. And you can see that there were two of them there, and they both disappear back into the forest. Your short rest is up, and Orvex is ready to keep exploring. I can't believe we found a shrine. We did it. We are making progress. We're learning.
Died.
And nobody else.
I pat him on the back. I mean, you haven't died. That's what's important, Orvex.
I will survive.
You will survive. You're a survivor. Hey.
Where should we go next?
To the next shrine. Sure, we know exactly where that is.
You guys did kind of get a bird's eye view of the city. You're still in the southwest portion. You remember from your overview that there was a long stone highway that goes right from the south end of the city to the north end. And to the east of that is a huge magma-filled pit. And to the northeast of where you are, a lot of the city is flooded.
I think Cranston's general opinion is to travel up that highway towards the center of the city.
You guys head back over to the highway, and Orvex tags along with you, and you push your way through a couple of trees on the other side. You go maybe another couple blocks, and you get to another large walled compound. There's an opening on the south end. Within the walls, you see a big cylindrical building. There are two tall monoliths flanking the entrance, decorated with images.
Duoliths.
Oh, my God. How is the English language not invented that word yet?
Oh, it has. It's just not important.
So these tall monoliths flank the entrance, decorated with images of a jaguar with six snakes sprouting from its shoulders.
Oh, that's one of those. That's one of those guys.
This one of those trickster gods, yes.
Yeah. So it is a shrine to one of them.
Yeah.
Dope. Totally rad.
As you start approaching this huge stone door set into the shrine, you see on the steps leading up to it, two dead creatures. Both of them appear to have been slaughtered, both jaguars, but with six viperous looking snakes growing out of their shoulders.
Like the one that this whole thing is for.
Yeah.
That's a Cameron cool. Commodon, right?
These are Commodons, yeah. Yes.
Was this recent? Are they fresh?
These look like they were killed in the last day. There's lots of insects burrowing into them and stuff like that, but they haven't gone to that inflated point yet, fortunately, for your nostrils.
All right. I look at the wounds. How were they killed?
One of them has been burned, as well as some contusive damage to the head and body. And the other one was cut up with, looks like, swords or knives, several defensive slashes along the arms, as well as slashes to the neck and chest.
No sign of what might have done this to them.
It's wizard fire.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
Could have been arcane fire and...
And stabbing.
And stabbing.
Yeah, arcane stabbing. There's no other human bodies or tears of cloth or blood or something like that that might give us a clue?
You don't see anything out here, no.
Okay.
The Thay ended up getting a detour to the spot instead of where we were going.
Could ask her buddy?
I don't know, actually. I was trapped underneath a rock.
I think there were like kind of different groups of Thay, too.
There were a lot of us. I mean, we just counted 30 dead back there, but there were more. It was a large expedition.
If the graffiti we saw at the entrance to Omu is to be trusted, the Commodon?
Yep.
Their whole thing was wisdom. So we're screwed. But yeah. Just know that that's why we will die.
Once you get up to the monoliths, he starts taking a look at them and scrubbing off a little bit of the moss and stuff that's grown over them, and he finds a couple of carvings with an inscription.
Wow, what a keener.
I was like, thank God this guy's around.
This is literally the entire reason I'm here, Liani. This inscription says, Shigambi teaches us to fight evil with honor. There's reliefs on the monoliths that also show not just Shigambi, the Commodon, but also overseeing Chultan warriors as they train with spears and swords.
All right, I'm going to rename one of my swords Honor.
Might
and
as well.
The other one, Wisdom? Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah, Honor and Wisdom.
You can see that there's these huge stone doors that are absolutely massive. They look like they weigh like 600 pounds or something like that, but they've already been pushed open.
Okay.
Well,
sneaky innie. Let's go in.
Sneaky innie.
Yeah. 6 on my stealth check.
So Liani steps through the doorway into the interior of the shrine, where you see steps descending into a 15-foot-high, moss-covered room. Inside here, there are 4 statues of Omuan warriors standing in alcoves to either side, overlooking a barred gladiatorial pit in the floor. Each statue is holding a bronze spear. On the far side of the chamber, there's a stone pedestal standing conspicuously bare. A relief on the wall behind it shows a monstrous jaguar with 6 snakes protruding from its shoulders, fighting off a squat, frog-like humanoid armed with a spear. To the left of the relief is a narrow tunnel with stairs leading down.
So they probably already took the cube. Should we just try going down the stairs then? I don't really want to go into that pit.
I didn't want to go into the pit, but I did want to examine the statues a little bit.
You mean the ones that are going to come to life and murder us?
Yeah, those ones.
Okay.
Enter the room. You're trying to take a look around. You look down into the gladiator pit, and you can see four piles of shattered clay or ceramic with steel weapons amongst the piles.
Can Kamadon petrify people?
You're not sure about that.
Okay.
Those statues are made out of carved stone, but the spears that are in their hands are a bronze spear.
Does it look like they could be removed easily?
It looks like they could be removed very easily, actually. It looks like the hands were designed in such a way that the spear could be slid in and out really easily. And even at the base of the statue, there's a slot where the base of the spear sits into.
Lee takes 10 steps back. All right, Cranston, take that spear.
I say Horik, take that spear.
Before anybody takes the spear, I'm going to
use... I'll take the spear.
The Wand of Secrets.
Oh, yeah.
Secrets.
Just to see if this thing is horrifically trapped. And if there's no horrific traps, then I will take the spear.
Nice.
There are no horrific traps.
Any just mild traps?
What about...
just traps in general.
You hold the wand out and you stand the spike up on top of your hand as per the instructions, and it spins around and it just comes back to rest without pointing at anything particular. So within 30 feet of you, there are no secret doors and no traps.
Okay. That's good to know.
Cool.
Horik, take the spear.
Okay. Horik reaches out and shimmies the spear out.
You lift it out, and it being made of bronze, it is incredibly heavy. Like, it's very unwieldy.
Yeah.
If something was going to use this as an actual weapon, it would probably be like a giant or something like that. Like, the whole shaft is made out of bronze. It's solid. It's super heavy.
Or a giant a man.
It's not a practical weapon at all.
Yeah.
It may still be like a key or something, I feel like.
Yeah.
So.
Additionally, when you lift it out, you hear a like ka-chink chink as the base of the spear lifts off a little mechanism, like a pressure plate within that little socket. And you can see the pedestal on the other side of the gladiator pit starts to rotate and shift back down into the floor and then closes over top of it.
So did someone put these four spears here to open it up? And we're just
put it back
closing
and see
it
if
back?
It comes out.
Yeah, I set it back and see if it
does. Set the spear back in. The floor where the pedestal was opens back up again, and this cylinder pedestal rotates up like a corkscrew and comes to a closed position.
Someone may have completed this puzzle for us already.
Douglas decides he's going to go down the stairs.
You walk down the stairs. They're kind of cobwebby, but you get down and it actually goes just around and into the actual gladiatorial pit.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. And so now I want to go and look at the pedestal.
Okay.
And see what it may look like it held. Like some sort of cube, probably.
There's a nice little 3-inch by 3-inch clean spot where a cube might have sat.
Yeah.
All right, dust for fingerprints.
Yeah, I start dusting for fingerprints.
There are fingerprints.
And I'm like, I have no idea who these belong to.
I have no forensic database to compare these to.
No.
What race is it?
Fingers.
Finger race.
Yeah, but like, you know, are they human size? They're not giant fingers or little halfling fingers? Or,
well, that could
like
be a child, though. You don't
long,
know.
Long, slender elf fingers.
Yeah, use your deduction. Sherlock Holmes did without...
I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I'm not going to even try to figure it out.
Yeah.
I shrug my shoulders and I walk back up the stairs.
All right.
And Douglas is dejected. They got here before us, guys.
Those bastards.
They sure did.
I'll kill all the wizards.
Whoa.
Oh.
Douglas is one of the wizards.
Yeah, he knows.
Guys. All the fey wizards. I said what I said.
Yeah. Starting with this one.
I said what I said. Okay. So yeah, it appears that the shrine has already been pilfered.
I mean, if we just let them collect all the cubes and then
and
take
then
the cubes from
them. Yeah, we have one cube, so they can't...
We got two cubes.
Okay, the point is they can't complete the set, so that's perfect.
They can't summon Shenron until the other cubes are... we continue north.
You guys go back out to the highway and you continue along the highway, or are you going to go towards the flooded area of the city?
Just keep going up the road and see what we see.
Sure.
Yeah, north for now, I think. Yeah.
I feel like that's where they're going, though, the Thay.
Well, yeah, I think we can confirm that if we do one more.
Okay.
I mean, that's the main entrance to the city. I don't... Unless they were flying over the lava or whatever, that's the way they would have went.
Yeah, I'm just thinking we should go towards the flooded, because they probably are trying to avoid that.
Cranston still wants to try to generally head towards where he saw that sphere of darkness in his vision.
Oh, yeah, okay. Did you tell everybody about the vision?
I think I did. I didn't explicitly say it, but yeah, it would have come up during a short rest or whatever. It was like, hey, guys, I saw this weird thing.
It's weird.
It seems like something we shouldn't go towards, a dark sphere, but I'll take your word for it. We seem very cube-related, not sphere-related. You know what I mean?
I like all shapes, so I'm down for whatever.
Diversify your portfolio.
Yeah.
How's Horik feeling about this abandoned city?
Horik feels weird about the abandoned city. It reminds him of what his town as a child looked like just after the slavers were done.
Yeah.
Empty stalls and destroyed homes, doors pulled off of hinges and empty. But obviously somewhere that people had once lived and thrived and lived their lives, but not anymore.
That's sad.
That is terribly sad.
Horik's a deeply sad man.
Oh.
Tragic figure.
He hides it behind all the eating.
And the muscles.
And the eating.
That's how he maintains the muscles.
Right.
And he hides the feelings under the muscles.
Oh, I see.
You guys head north along the stone highway again. You probably get another, I'd say, half a mile maybe. And off to the left, off the road, tucked between a couple of buildings, you guys see amid the ruins an abandoned campsite.
Hmm.
Some torn backpacks and rotted gear litter the ground around three moldering tents.
Douglas, what does moldering mean?
Moldering? It means that the mold is on fire.
Oh.
Slightly moldering.
I think that's smoldering.
Yeah, but with mold.
But more what moist. Am I rolling? It's like a moist smolder.
The moist smolder.
I do not know what moldering means.
Okay.
Slowly decay.
Cool.
At the center of the camp, there's a scrap of dirty yellow cloth hanging from a crude wooden flagpole.
Hey, Lee, how long does this look like it's been here?
Survival.
Lee walks up to it. 20.
You think that the condition of this campsite, it's obvious that the jungle has started to kind of reclaim the area.
Been moldering
so it's
a while.
Been on, yeah, it's been on fire moistly for a good long time.
Good long time. You would guess maybe months. You are rummaging through some of the materials that were left behind, and inside one of the tents, you find a letter. It says, Rue, Devlin has a lead on the Eye of Xaltek. The old goat found an obelisk to the north that masks the entrance to the Tomb of the Nine Gods. The eye must be within, but the door is magically locked. We think the secret to opening it lies within the holy shrines. We're headed into the ruins to check them out. God's willing, we'll be back tonight. Rosnacy's serpent people are on the prowl, so be careful. If you get into trouble, sound the swan horn twice, and I'll come running. For the Yellow Banners, Lord Brixton.
We know who the Yellow Banners are.
Make a history check.
Oh, 20.
Cranston, in your travels, maybe a tavern or two along the Sword Coast, have heard tales of the Company of the Yellow Banner. They are a group of explorers and adventurers who have made a name for themselves fighting evil cultists and making sure that they get put down before they end the world and all that.
We know that the cubes of the trickster gods are supposed to be some kind of key, which this letter seems to confirm. Do we know Eye of Xaltek? Have we heard that word before?
You've not.
No.
Wonder if that has something to do with Cranston's dream.
Oh, that does sound like an eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said that was found in a what to the north?
The old goat found an obelisk to the north that masks the entrance to the Tomb of the Nine Gods.
Cranston confers with the map.
Thinking about what you saw when you were up above, definitely that very north end of that highway. Yeah, there's a little stupid little brown gray patch. It's really, really tiny, but...
Oh, right there.
In front of the rocks?
Yeah.
I thought that was more like a cave.
Yeah, it's right at the end of that second highway.
I see it.
Okay, well, that's good. We know where we will have to go eventually. But we still need to either track down some cubes or track down the other Thanes.
Yeah.
Does this place that they camped out look like a temple at all or just a campsite?
It just looks like just a campsite kind of in between ruins.
Okay. I think we should still keep going north because I'm sort of interested in this amphitheater.
Yeah.
So you guys just get moving right away?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, can I do a quick perception to see if we're still being followed by those weird apes?
Yes.
8. So I have no idea.
Want me to look for apes?
Yeah.
15.
As you leave the camp and kind of turn around the corner, you see a couple of them jump down off of a roof and start rooting through the tents.
I don't think they're a threat or anything. I think they're just there.
I'm just curious about their curiosity.
It's tracking us.
Yeah, why are they following us?
Probably because you fed them.
Okay. Yeah, you're not supposed to feed wild animals, are you?
No.
Why didn't you tell me, Lee?
No, I didn't.
Some ranger. Food at them.
You want me to shoot Ranger the food out of the air with my like bow and arrow?
Oh, my
pretty
God,
cool.
Yeah.
You want that food, monkey?
You got to work for it.
Come get it.
Yeah. Come and get it. Okay. You guys continue along a little ways, and to your right, right beside the highway, you see another of those walled compounds with what looks to be another shrine inside it. Did you guys want to go check that out before you move on?
I suppose it's pretty close.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. You work your way around to the front of the compound. You look through and see these cracked monoliths flanking an entrance to the ruin. There are all these saw-edged ferns growing in the courtyard between broken flagstones. A pair of stone doors provide entry to a large, flat-roofed ruin.
Are they open?
They are open.
Oh, fucker. I still want to look in there.
Okay. As you walk into the compound, there's this patch of grass, a little bit taller, and this little brown, furry creature just darts across your path and it disappears into a little burrow. You think that was a rabbit, but it had a horn.
Oh, yeah.
Jackalope.
Yeah.
Not the jackalope, but an almirage. Yeah. I once again feed the animals and I put a little bit of ration next to his hole.
Sure. He doesn't come out.
Oh. I leave a little trail following outside.
Okay.
And then set up a trap.
Yeah.
Sculptural reliefs decorate the doors of the shrine. The carvings here show a horned rabbit charging a small feral-looking bear with sharp claws. There's a cuneiform message etched above the doors, and Orvex is happy to translate it for you. This one says, Ijin teaches us to take the path least expected.
I mean, I didn't expect to be here, so.
Do we see a spot where one of the cubes would have been?
As soon as you come through the door, there is a 10-foot-wide hallway. Carved tiles on it depicting various beasts decorate the hallway floor. And you can see that a couple of the tiles have been smashed.
I'm going to try to look for around the perimeter, like a hole maybe or something like that.
Around the side?
Yeah.
You search around the outside of the shrine and you don't find any other reasonable ways of coming in. I'll show you guys the floor tiles. Here there are a great number of tiles. You guys are traveling from the right through to the left, and each tile is inscribed with a different animal creature. Some of them are kind of like the nine gods kind of looking, and some of them are a little bit different. Like I think there's some dragonflies and stuff in there.
Which ones are smashed?
I think the giraffe is smashed.
Oh, no.
And there's a couple that are not totally destroyed, but a little bit busted up on the other end.
Okay. Any of those other ones look like they're the horned rabbit?
You think maybe they're also the giraffe one.
Hmm. Right.
We should do it in reverse food chain order.
I was going to try just putting my foot on the rabbit one.
Sure. You step onto the rabbit one.
Yeah.
And nothing happens.
I, with the ring of jumping, decide to jump all the way to the far right one. Also a horned rabbit.
Sure. Make a jump check.
I got a 7.
You actually jump. You land on the rabbit tile, which immediately depresses into the ground. And from the wall, 4 darts shoot out. All 4 of them hit you. So you can take 8 damage from the first dart.
Okay.
5 damage from the second dart. 7 damage from the third dart.
Okay.
6 damage from the fourth dart. And you're going to make a constitution saving throw for each of those.
Okay.
Ooh, poison darts.
9.
Take 6 damage.
Nope.
Take 7 damage.
That one I made, okay.
9 damage, and then you take 3. So you guys watch as Douglas is like, don't worry guys, I totally figured out this puzzle. Jumps to the far rabbit tile. It depresses, and immediately from the wall, just immediately to his left, Douglas collapses to the ground.
Yeah.
Did you jump to a platform that was on the same row?
No, I was trying to jump to the rabbit on the next row. So don't do that one.
Yikes.
Yeah, but now also, how do we get to you? I could cast Thunderwave behind you and blast you back.
Orvix is there watching very nervously.
The giraffe one is smashed.
Yeah.
I'm going to step on the giraffe one.
Okay, you're fine.
I reach out because it's diagonally across and I'm going to grab Douglas.
You drag Douglas back. Okay.
Yeah. And then I can pop over and administer healing.
Sure.
Thank you.
Just a smaller heal, just to get you back up and running. 7 hit points back. You said a lot of them look like the trickster gods, but not all of them. There wasn't any giraffe in any of them.
Yeah.
Because there's that whole tale that Orvix told us about the trickster gods and kind of the order that they encountered themselves in.
Yes, and Orvix points out that part of that tale is still inscribed here, actually. There's an inscription here about how the carving tells the story of Ijin earning the ire of Obalaka, which is a Zorbo, spoiling a stew prepared for the god Ubtau. Obalaka wanted to make a good stew for Ubtau to convince him to come back, and then the Almirage snuck recklessness into the pot, which she saw as a virtue, but Ubtau thought was disgusting.
Remind us what a Zorbo is.
A Zorbo is like a drop bear.
Is it in the first row?
Nope. You've got a horse, a giraffe, frog or something, and the rabbit.
It seems like first row is safe.
Here's another question. Do we even want to go through this? Does it, like, it looks like it's already been pilfered, like the other ones.
Well, we don't know that until we get to the other side.
They could have given up.
I almost wonder if we should just go to the end and see if we can get in.
That's what I'm wondering, too.
Can anyone jump real far?
I have a ring that doesn't always work.
A ring of possibly jumping.
Yeah.
I could shoot an arrow with a rope on it into the wall across the way, and then we...
Walk on the rope?
Yeah, walk on the rope. Tight rope.
Hmm. Slacklining.
Yeah, we'll practice our sweet slacklining tricks.
At the entrance to this, it said we're supposed to take the path that's least expected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it should be the opposite of the story or what. So the rabbit and the drop bear are terrible enemies, so maybe...
They wouldn't expect them.
Wouldn't expect them to go at each other.
Maybe each row has like two enemies that you could pair together or something. Mm.
You guys see enough variety here that you don't think that the animals on the tiles are directly all related to the nine gods.
Is it maybe just avoid nine gods? Step on non-nine gods tiles?
Sure, maybe.
Do any in the first row depress? I run along them.
No, they don't.
You were on zebra? Go to cow.
You go to cow.
Go to cow.
Does anyone have a shield?
Yeah, but it's important to me.
Well, then you go on cow. Yeah.
You go use your shield then. That's so important.
Orc says, fine. I'll go on cow.
So you go zebra, cow?
Yeah. So he takes a step onto the cow.
You step onto the cow and you're fine.
Told you guys.
Come on
in,
guys.
You can always trust cows.
It's fine.
Can you tell me what the animals on the next row are?
Looks like a tiger, a dragonfly, a hawk, and a cow.
Okay.
Dragonfly, I don't think has anything to do with the legends, right? Orvix?
I don't think so. There's no dragonflies as far as I can remember.
Try dragonfly?
Yeah, Horik reaches out his right foot. Oh, he's just going to like tap it with his toe.
Doesn't seem to depress with just the toe.
Okay, so he puts the weight of his whole right leg on it.
Seems good.
And then back out.
Seems good.
And then he puts it back right in. Yeah.
Does he shake it all about?
He shakes it all about.
Yeah, I think the dragonfly one seems to be safe.
Okay. So he puts his whole body in, and then he does the hokey pokey.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns himself around.
He gets dizzy.
And he says, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Just keep in mind that if the tiles are not diagonally adjacent, you'd have to jump. What is the next row?
Monkey, cow, rabbit, dragonfly.
Probably monkey.
Yeah, I would think so.
You step on the monkey tile.
Yep.
You're fine.
Okay.
Next row.
So either cow, tiger or hawk.
Dragonfly.
Is there a tiger monkey or hawk in the tail?
Orvix?
There's the jaguar, the Commodon.
Mm. What about the hawk?
No, I don't remember a hawk in any of the stories either.
Jump to the hawk, Horik!
Okay, go ahead and make an athletics check.
Horik rolls a 19.
You jump, you land on the hawk, and it does not depress. What's the next row?
Dragonfly, rabbit,
we
tiger,
could try the
zebra.
What about the giraffe? Have we done the giraffe?
You've not done a giraffe yet.
I could try to jump the whole row.
This is great for you, but not so much for the rest of us that can't jump.
We just need one person to get over there.
Yeah, I suppose. Sure. You want to just jump to...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to jump the whole row straight from hawk to giraffe.
Oh my God.
Natural 20.
You jump it.
These dice are weighted weird.
All right. You land on that tile.
Okay.
I mean, you could just jump to the end now, then.
What are the animals on the last row?
Giraffe, dragonfly, rabbit, hawk.
Yeah. So I jumped the last row as well.
Okay. You got some good jumping legs
25.
On you.
Yeah.
Jumping legs.
All right, Horik, you see ahead of you now a winding hallway that breaks off in a bunch of different directions. It's like one of those funhouse mazes. The hallway immediately goes to your right and to your left.
Okay. Horik takes a left.
It winds around a little bit, and then you get to an end where a T intersection goes to the left, back south towards the direction you came from, or to the right, which goes north.
Left.
Okay, you come around to a dead end. At the dead end, there is a zombie body. You can see that obviously it was super decayed, currently enmeshed in all of these scythe blades that had popped out from the wall.
Wow, so some kind of a trap, probably.
Yeah.
Can I take a look to see what might have triggered it? Is there a weight on the floor or something that...
You see that where the zombie is, right in the dead end, that there is a pressure plate.
Avoid that.
Avoid pressure plates. Okay.
It'd be pretty unexpected for you to go right through that.
That's true.
It would be. And they did say to take the
path least expected.
Path least expected.
Expected.
You know what? Hork is pretty sure it looks like a dead end. Obviously, somebody died and became a zombie and maybe died again here.
Yep.
And Hork doesn't want to die and become a zombie and die again.
Okay.
So he turns around and goes the north way.
Okay. So you go up the north way, winds again a little bit, get to another T intersection, goes right or left?
Left.
You go left, you get to a wind around again, another T intersection that you can see kind of zigzags up to your right to a door or to your left?
Left.
Another
We're
dead end.
We're never seeing Horik again.
This is another dead end.
Okay. Horik turns around and takes the zigzaggy road up to the door.
At the door, you see that the door is open.
Okay.
On the other side, a shaft of natural light spills from a tiny square hole in the ceiling onto a carved stone pedestal with a nice little empty square space on top of it.
If I take a look at the door, is there evidence that it's been opened recently? Like maybe dust has been like...
Definitely, okay. There's dust shifted out of the way.
So yeah. Someone's been here before us. They got the cube before us.
Seems that way.
Wizards. Okay. So Horik, remembering the way he came, mm-hmm. because he only mm-hmm. turned left...
Yep.
Except when he turned right.
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
Okay. You just scramble back across the tiles the same way that you did before, and you guys leave the shrine. As you were leaving, you see one of those ape creatures scrambling over top of the wall with something small and furry hanging from his mouth.
Horik draws his longbow.
Oh, it's one of the bunnies.
Yep.
And shoots at it.
Okay, go ahead.
23 to hit.
That Jeez. Hits.
Why are you shooting monkeys?
Because he's got something in his mouth.
Yeah, you and always have something in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
I want that it. Thing in my mouth.
It's edible. Kill it.
If I put that monkey in my mouth, it'll be like I have two things in my mouth.
Do your damage.
That's 11.
The arrow pierces into its side. It manages to scramble over the top of the wall and then disappear off the other side of the compound.
Man, they were becoming our friends, and now you're going to ruin all that.
Didn't drop its little treat?
Did not.
Wow.
Well, he's trying.
But we'll know which one he is later because we tagged him and released him into the wild.
Yeah. Oh, is that
what that was what this was about? I see.
It was a
scientific research.
Conservation mission.
You guys follow Orvex back out to the stone highway, and I'm guessing you're continuing north along anymore?
I think we should consider we can keep going this way, and I think there are going to be interesting things up ahead, or we could try going... To the right, to the east side of town somewhere to maybe get some of the cubes that they haven't got yet.
Douglas agrees. Good point.
I'm not sure which is the best, but...
Let's see if we can get to that big inner wall thing.
Where?
There was a big ziggurat sort of palace off to the east side of the city, enclosed in a giant circular wall. Part of it is flooded. You guys saw that when you were overlooking the city.
Yeah.
Palaces are dope.
Ziggurats are also cool. We just have to figure out how we're going to get over the water.
You guys go a little bit north on the roadway until you find a set of stairs that goes down to a dirt track, which leads to a flooded section of the city. You can see that here it looks like this part of the city sunk more, and then the waterfall that once fed the fountains and rivers within the city has flooded and has filled in the crevasse. So a lot of these buildings are probably 6 or more feet underwater. It's flowing pretty swiftly as it continues south to the gorge with the lava in it. So it's not necessarily still water at all.
So not super safe to cross.
There are all these like pillars and stuff in the
rocks. You could try traveling from building to building, but there would be some bigger gaps to have to cross for
right.
sure.
Bob our way over on top of Bob.
Oh.
Bob just bobs. I don't think he can support weight per se.
Try it.
We could try it.
Just find
and then
mean,
watch one of our allies just
no,
float down.
Like, don't go out to
yeah,
sea.
Some shallow water, right?
And we could tie a rope to them. There's precautions.
All right, I start tying a rope to Cranston.
Yeah, let's go back where we saw that was kind of like the smallest part of the river.
You guys did see when overlooking the city that there was a section of the river that was narrower with some sort of bridge or tree spanning across it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's where the highway kind of is too. So I say we go there, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
You make your way back down south.
I still like the rope tying thing, though. We should all do that.
Okay.
Props.
Okay.
Unless Horik falls in, then we're screwed.
Yeah, then we're all going down.
Surprise.
Taking you with me.
Yeah, Horik, you tie a rope to yourself, and we'll tie our three ropes together.
Yeah.
You work your way through some of the ruins towards the flowing river, and you see here a fallen tree bridges the river ahead. The trunk here is wider than a man and stretches more than 100 feet across that span. On both banks, there are ruined buildings.
All right, I gingerly put my foot down on top of the log.
Yeah.
Just testing my weight on it.
Seems pretty sturdy. Not only that, it looks like it's wide enough that two medium creatures could pass by each other safely.
Okay.
You and your cougar can cross together.
True. Okay, here's how we'll do it. I'll go first. I'll tie a rope off on myself and give the end to you guys. And when I cross it, I'll tie the rope to the other side and you guys can tie it to yourself and then.
Perfect.
How long is your rope?
Well, we tie all of our ropes together.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's going first? Liani?
Lee. Yeah.
Okay.
So Lee ties it to herself and town.
Okay. Lee, you get about halfway across when off to the north, you hear some screaming of these high-pitched warbles like, blah, 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 and then suddenly it stops. Almost like war cries, but it was very distant.
Neat.
Doing okay over there, Lee?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay.
You go the rest of the way?
Yep.
You safely get across the bridge. Nice work.
All right.
You guys are going to ravel off the rope and then next person goes. So who's going next?
Douglas will go next.
Okay. Douglas, you get about 30 feet across of the 100 when you look across and see Liani and you see...
I'm waving. Hi. Yeah,
waving. Just,
I'm waving
just nice
back.
And friendly.
Hey.
Yeah.
And suddenly from the ruins behind her, a volley of arrows launches itself at her. Liani?
Yep.
20 to hit?
Yep.
You take 24 damage as an arrow strikes the back of your left shoulder, and then you're going to make a constitution saving throw.
Uh-oh. 17.
Cranston and Douglas and Horik can make perception checks.
Okay.
25.
23 perception for Horik.
4 for Douglas. Yikes.
It's an arrow. I don't care how big it is. It just hurt a lot.
It hurt you a ton.
I want to know the make and model.
That's Ebony. We're rich.
Cranston, you got a 25 on your perception check?
Yeah.
That is one above the stealth check.
Oh, jeez.
Made by this creature that you see. It had just poked itself out on upper level of a roof on the other side of the bank. It had drawn its longbow and released like a sniper bolt, perfect precision, piercing Liani right through her chest, just above her heart.
Shot through the heart!
And Liani, you look down, you see this arrow piercing through your chest, you see that the arrowhead is coated with a green, toxic-looking substance, and you take 16 poison damage.
Holy shit.
How you doing, Liani?
Not great.
Still conscious, though?
Yeah.
Roll initiative.
19 for Lee.
Horik, what's your initiative?
17.
Doug got 5.
Cranston.
16.
Liani, you are first to go.
Yeah! Is there just one?
Just the one arrow has come at you.
We've only seen the one.
You're going to make a perception check to see him.
16.
You know that the arrow came from on top of that building, but you do not see the archer.
Is there any place for cover nearby?
Yes, there are some broken rocks. There's some parts of buildings. You could probably take cover behind something.
Lee gets closer to the bank as she can and gets behind a rock, and she's going to cast Healing Spirit. So I drop that zone kind of on top of me.
Okay.
And I'll heal for 1d6. 2. Yay. But I'm going for a complete cover.
Yeah, you're hidden down behind something. You guys see the archer, which now that you're getting a little bit more detail as it rushes between different points of cover, looks to be a tabaxi, one of the cat folk. The tabaxi is pretty tall, lanky, wearing leather armor, a big green feathered headdress, got a longbow, and his fur is like a jaguar leopard pattern. The cat guy dodged between a couple different pieces of cover and is kind of hidden behind something. You can see the rock that he's hidden behind, but you can't see him right now. Horik. Horik is right at the beginning of the bridge.
Okay, getting shot at.
Liani is totally on the other side.
Totally on the other side.
Douglas is not quite halfway across.
Right.
And you're at the beginning, right beside Cranston, on the safe side.
Well, Horik was never one to stay on the safe side.
Yeah.
So he's going to sprint across this terribly dangerous tree bridge.
Okay.
And try to get as far across it as possible.
With a dash action, what's the furthest you can move?
60 feet.
Okay, so you are about 2/3 of the way. Now it's Cranston.
How far is Douglas on the bridge?
Like 1/3 the way.
30 feet.
And the bridge is about 100. How far from the end of the bridge would be the tabaxi?
Another 30 feet.
So 130
feet from you, yeah. So what are you going to do?
Get up the one movement action.
Yeah.
30 feet across the bridge. And then I saw the kind of bit of broken building that tabaxi hid behind.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot a telepathic message to him. And I'm just, and he can answer should he wish.
Okay.
Stop, we mean you no harm. Yeah, the classic. Parley.
We are pirates.
Yeah.
The only response you get is a growling noise.
Like just animalistic, doesn't even seem.
Like in the throes of combat.
Okay, I tried. I'm also going to say, Lee, we're coming to help. And you get a Bardic Inspiration die.
Woo!
Which is a D8 now.
Oh, instead of a D6. Fancy schmancy.
Okay, now we've got Douglas.
Okay, as Horik is rushing past Douglas,
yep.
I tap him right on the side of the arm and he's hasted.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I am going to just hold on to my rope and jump right into the water.
Okay.
Just to make it harder for him to shoot me with an arrow.
Okay.
And I'm going to use that to start going forward.
Do you have a swim speed? Do you have?
I do, 30 feet.
Okay, so you're good. The river here is fast, but you're in your element. Any bonus action?
I just try to make it to the other side of the bridge.
Okay, so you are basically right beside.
Yeah. Eric.
And that makes it Liani's turn. So you start your turn with the healing spirit, so you get more healing.
Yeah, so I'm starting my turn there.
Yeah, so you get 1d6.
Okay. I'm going to peek out and see if I can see him.
Perception.
7.
No. Right.
I rolled a 1.
You have a good idea from the way that everybody's acting that he's on the building just to the left of where he was before, but you can't make a good beat on him unless you move from your spot.
All right. I'm going to stay here a little bit longer.
Okay. It is his turn. He will poke out. He sees Horik running across the log, draws his arrow. And shoots at you.
Get 2 extra AC.
And it's only a 13 to hit.
Didn't even need that extra AC.
You can then see he then leaps off of that building onto another one behind another piece of rubble. Horik, your turn.
Horik makes a big sprint. He runs another 30 feet. So he's like way off that bridge.
Sure.
Right into the thick of it. And lets off a shot with his longbow in the general direction. Not right at him, just in his general direction. Covering fire.
Right.
Okay.
Covering fire.
Horik does what Horik does.
Your intention is kind of like to distract him.
Exactly.
Or,
okay, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That sounds good. You're kind of making yourself a target. Roll an intimidate.
7 to okay. Intimidate.
That's fine.
Boop. Hits the ground in front of you. Yeah.
Cranston.
Cranston runs up another 30 feet, most of the way across the bridge now.
Yeah.
Would you say I'm within 60 feet of my target?
I think so.
So I saw the bit of broken building that he hid behind.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast Shatter there.
Ooh.
So it's an area of effect. Yeah. It should just hit him, but also does damage to non-magical items there. So or non-magical objects. I'm hoping it'll break his cover as well. A sudden, loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of your choice within range. Each creature in a 10-foot radius makes a constitution saving throw or takes an amount of damage. And non-magical objects that aren't being worn or carried also take the damage.
Okay. He failed his constitution saving throw.
Cool. So it's going to be 4d8.
I was like, wow.
4d8?
For a total of 14 damage. And his cover takes that as well.
Yeah, the cover shatters. And not just the sonic boom from your spell, but also like all the shrapnel slams into him and raises his arm to protect his face from the shrapnel. Yeah, he looks a little worse for wear from that, for sure.
But we can all see him now?
You can now see him. He's in the open on top of one of these buildings right near the edge of it. Douglas.
I'm going to cast Frostbite on this motherfucker.
Okay.
You cause numbing frost to form on one creature that you can see within range. The target must make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, the target takes 1d6 cold damage, and it has disadvantage on its next weapon attack roll.
Okay. He is going to get a 17 on that save.
He saves.
The frost starts to accumulate on the edge of the building, but he manages to step out of the way of the frost that's trying to creep up his legs.
Mm.
Next is Liani.
Still going to take her healing.
And are you stepping out from cover too?
I'll step out. But I started my turn in the healing, so I'll take the healing. 6.
Nice.
And she takes out her longbow and fires a shot. Missed on her first shot. She's going to shoot again, though.
Extra attack. Okay.
22.
That hits.
All right. I'm going to use the Bardic Inspiration on the damage for this. 16 damage.
Nice work. Your arrow pierces him in the thigh. He grunts with another growl, says, "Uchaba itame tat. You come to my hunting grounds. I shall feed on you."
Shut your mouth.
Oh, so he does speak common.
He was combining two different languages there that you're not sure what the first one was. He shoots back at Liani.
I hunt wherever I'd like.
24 to hit you.
Jeez.
10 piercing damage.
Yep.
And make a constitution saving throw against the poison.
Okay. 9.
17 poison damage.
And I'm down.
Oh, jeez.
Yikes.
Good thing you're still on top of your healing thing.
I'm not. Oh. I stepped out of cover to shoot at him.
Okay.
I can Thunderwave you into it again.
Pretty sure Thunderwave does damage. You keep forgetting to mention the damage
right.
Part.
Yeah.
He lets a roar of victory out. And then leaps back across to the first building that he was on, taking cover behind another piece of rock. Horik, your turn.
Horik's going to run up. He's upset.
Mm-hmm.
This fucking cat bastard
mm-hmm.
has been fucking with his friends.
Yep.
And he's had enough of it.
Are you trying to get up into melee with him?
Yeah.
Okay. Just make an athletics check to climb the building real quick.
Okay. 14.
Yeah. You're up and you see him huddled behind a piece of rock, knocking an arrow to his bow. And you come around the corner there with some weapons, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. So Horik is going all new weapons today. He's got his mace plus one that he got from the dwarves. And then he's got the magical battle axe, Bob,
yep.
that he stole from the dragon nest. Yep.
Borrowed
from the dragon nest. First, he's going to attack with his mace, and he's going to use his disarming attack.
Okay.
So a disarming attack, when I hit with a weapon attack, I can expend one superiority die to add it to the damage and disarm the target if it fails a strength saving throw, which is a DC 15. So I'll roll to see if this attack hits. Shit, might not. It's a 13 to hit.
No.
Okay. I'll just try again with the mace. 20 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, perfect.
What's the DC?
15.
He makes the save.
12 damage.
Okay. He growls in pain.
Right back at you, buddy.
Right back at you. And then as a bonus action, he's going to attack with his battle axe.
Okay.
18 to hit.
Yeah.
9 damage.
Okay. Cranston, your turn. You see Horix now toe-to-toe with his bow-wielding tabaxi on top of the roof.
Cool. And Lee bleeding out.
Oh, right. I think I could just run over, if I could do this in one turn, pull her just back behind the cover and heal her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll run over to Lee, drag her back into cover, and lay on hands. I'm not a paladin. But I cure wounds anyway. I am a pervert.
Oh, never mind. You can still cast lay on hands.
Yeah.
I feel better, but violated.
Part of my pervert subclass, yeah. You get 12 hit points back.
Good teamwork here, guys. Thank Douglas, you. It's your turn.
He's still about 60 feet away then, after he moved up the side?
Yeah, he's just kind of moving along parallel to you.
So as not to hopefully hit Horik, I'm going to try casting Frostbite again.
Sure. On saving throw?
Yeah.
12.
That does not save.
Okay.
5 damage, and he gets disadvantage on his next weapon attack.
Frost starts to creep up his arm, and you can see that where he's clutching the bow, he starts to get the cold fingers kind of look to him, and it is Leanne's turn. You're conscious again.
Yeah.
Just stay where you are.
No. Leanne feels comfortable getting out there and shooting another arrow. He's in melee with Horik.
Yeah.
And the focus isn't going to be on her anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
She knocks another arrow, and she's going to rub some of that poison that's sticking out of the arrow in her chest on it.
Why don't she use one of the coral arrows?
Yeah, you have poison arrows.
Yeah, fine. 25.
That hits.
11 regular damage and 5 poison. 16 damage. Yep.
Okay. That arrow with the poison damage pierces him through the back of the shoulder, flumps forward, onto Horik, dead. As the tabaxi falls onto Horik, the eyes of this creature look into yours, and you can see that even in his dying moments, he has this crazed look of a trapped predator. He's mumbling to himself, whispering, The hunt comes to an end, and then dies. See you in 2 weeks. The music in this episode was produced by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0.
I love you. Get over here so I can give you a bath.